Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Oh! Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to it right across the Triple M network. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Our number is 133353. And look, it's we're a little bit of a, yeah, there's a few off the interchange today. Maroon in on a Saturday, which isn't how it usually is, although...
It's nice to have you back though, Maroon. You have been missing in action for a little while, so it is good to have you back.
And there's just a few problems with the teeth, but
yeah,
they've come good.
Yep.
And Brian Fletcher, who is part of the Triple M family, but we don't see him very often. Fletch, welcome to you.
Thank you very much for having me. Great to be here. Oh, hang on. Someone's just walked in.
Somebody's just walked in. Our great friend, Wendell Saylor. How are you, brother?
Yeah, good, thanks, boys. How's yourself?
Yeah, that's Sydney traffic, mate. I know exactly what you're talking about because I live over in that sort of southeast part of Sydney around Little Bay, and they're putting that tram in, and fair dinkum, it takes an hour to get to the city some days.
Well, it was a little bit my fault because my daughter, she's got netball thing on today, semi-finals, so I walked her out, and then as I drove up Ouseley, I realised I didn't have my my wallet on my phone, and they're two important things for me.
And you realised it wasn't your car.
Wendell, can I just say something? I've filled here on a Saturday three times.
Yeah.
Every time you've been late. The first time I was here, you were 20 minutes late.
Yeah.
Second time, you're 40.
Oh, I wouldn't say 20 minutes late.
You were.
No, not into a show.
I put it in my diary. Today, you are 60 minutes late.
How do you get 60 minutes? The show starts at 12.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to be here at 11.
Oh, no. With my contract. That's not in my contract, mate.
Well, funnily enough, we have the CEO in the building. I'm just going to go and ask him.
We do, don't we, Murray?
What's his name?
Grant.
Grant who?
I just call him Grant.
Well, okay.
Ryan, we've got to come clean here because Grant is in the building, our boss, Grant Blakely. And he walked behind me with his lovely wife, and they went up to his office, which is about 50 metres up the other end of the building. Mm. And then
For good reason.
Yeah. It's funny. I thought to myself, I'm glad I wasn't swearing while that lovely lady walked by.
Yeah.
And then I proceeded into a tirade of swearing about what's going on in the New South Wales Origin camp.
Yeah.
Very, very colourful language flew. And as I looked to my right, there she was standing right there ready to ask me for a newspaper. So I... In all sincerity, I just want to apologise. Mm. It's just no way to speak
You're
in front of a lady.
Maroon,
I am,
yeah.
And I just felt awful about it.
Maroon, good luck at CFM next year.
Yeah. And can I make one more thing? Man, who cares about the New South Wales job? Like, who cares about New South Wales? You know what? No matter who they pick in there or who comes up the job, you're going to come up short every year because we're just too good at the moment. It gets embarrassing.
Hang on to your footy talk because we'll get to that very shortly. This is, of course, the Saturday NRL, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Wendell Saylor, Brian Fletcher, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. Our number is 133353. Why have we got so many replacements? Well, Tony's in New York.
Tony's in New York. He gets back today.
Yeah.
Hoops is in Vegas for the fight. We're going to catch up with him, I think, about 1 o'clock. So I don't know what time it'll be over there.
Where is he?
He's in Vegas. There's a fight in Vegas.
He called me yesterday at the golf course. And I said, mate, what's he want? I forgot he was over there. And then I got on, and then he got on to me. And he goes, oh, Del, you would love Vegas. I said, oh, mate, thanks, mate. That's a great surprise. And then he proceeded to tell me how good Vegas was. So, yeah, I can't wait to talk to him about
it. He'd be at a pool party right about now.
he'd have the shirt off for sure.
Yeah, it would be.
He told me he was heading for the annual Ulla Dulla Tricep Festival this weekend.
He loves his coronas.
I think he
won the last couple of years. Yeah. Anyway, all that and more, we are going to talk some rugby league. We're going to talk about Neil Henry. We're going to talk about Jared Hayne. We're going to talk about, obviously, Laurie Daly. And, of course, the games that have happened so far in this round. A great win to the Eels over the Broncos in a very high-scoring game. Cowboys got the Tigers 22 points to 14. And then, of course, the Raiders beat the Knights 46 points to 28. So lots of big scores over the weekend. And Manly, of course, sit way up there on top, 6 points ahead of everyone else. But look, we're going to talk plenty of rugby league right here on Saturday NRL. This is Saturday NRL. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. We had a lovely lunch, too, with the guys from Bryden's yesterday at the Star.
Yeah, how was it?
And at Black. It was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Food was absolutely
beautiful. Teeth held up
beautiful.
Okay?
Well, my teeth kind of did. The dud one hung in there okay. But I've got to learn to chew on the other side,
okay.
Ryan. That's what it's all about. But I'm the first person in my family to have full set of teeth. And, hey, it's a reason
how
to celebrate.
How do you have your steak?
Well, I like to have it medium to well.
Mm. Yeah.
Which, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
a waste of a steak.
He has it in little pieces.
Heston says it's a waste having a steak.
Who's Heston?
The grouse. The Heston Blumenthal.
I can't cop those blokes.
Yeah.
What's he say? What's he want?
Worst case scenario. Worst case, medium rare.
Medium rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that... he's only got to please himself.
Yeah. Anyway, well, he does that.
Actually. We all like to please ourselves.
Let's talk a little bit of rugby league.
Yes.
Starting up, and this is serious too. Front page of the telly. Phil Rothfield writes an interesting article about Laurie Daly. Just to quote the first little piece of this article, it says huge bar bills from three team camps and a rampant drinking culture led to the shock axing of New South Wales State of Origin coach Laurie Daly. Saturday Telegraph can reveal Brad Fittler is favourite to replace Daly, who was forced out yesterday after a review of a bar bill that went into the thousands and thousands.
Wow.
Allegedly. But look, on the back of that, guys, just before I get you to comment, here is what Ricky Stewart has had to say on the Laurie Daly demise.
Laurie's one of the greatest legends of Origin football, and being a Blue, he should have been treated a lot more respectfully in the way it was done today. I thought it was disgraceful how it was done. He deserves a lot more respect in regards to how he lost his position. You've only got to have a couple of smarts about yourself to know that was a very disrespectful way to be to lose your job. They knew it was going to happen. It should have been done quietly and calmly, and let Laurie finish off the way he wanted to finish off, and let him have an announcement.
All right, guys, do you want to hear what Gus had to say before we go any further? Let's have a listen to what Gus Gould had to say about it as well.
I love this.
Yeah, I think it's a wise decision. I think they've got to make a stand. It's 11 out of 12 years that Queensland have humbled New South Wales. Laurie has had 5 years there for only one victory. It's not good enough at that level. We all love Laurie Daly. He was one of our greatest ever players, certainly one of our greatest leaders. I don't think he's had the right people around him, to be honest, to help him in this. He's not a professional coach. He's doing it out of his own heart and his own passion. He's given it everything he can. He takes the losses very, very heavily. And I just couldn't see him bouncing back next year to do anything different to what he's been doing.
Would you consider an advisory role?
No, look, I think they've just got to break away from all that. What's been happening over the last 12 years hasn't worked. They've got to rethink the whole system. You know, I have my own thoughts on it, but as I say, I'd break free from the past a little bit.
All right, just while we're having a listen to some of these audio bits, here's the eighth, Joey Johns, and what he had to say on the demise of Laurie Daly as New South Wales coach.
I think Brad Fittler would go well. He's had some experience at City Country level. He's had some great victories for City. He's been in charge of the junior New South Wales team and puts the right people around him. I think he'd be very successful. He's got the right temperament. He's got the respect of the players. So I think Brad Fittler would be a great coach.
Yeah, it's still quite sensitive at this stage as well. The dust's just settling. You know, and you can really feel that this is going to be a bit of a feeding frenzy around who's going to be the next State of Origin coach.
There is Freddie Fittler. So we're talking about Laurie Daly being stood down as coach of New South Wales Saturday Triple M NRL. Ryan, let me start with you here, mate, because the talk seemed to be Laurie was going to hang on.
It was a bit of a shock to everyone. They had a meeting just after the series was finalised, and I thought what we took out of the meeting was the fact that, you know, it was going to come down to possibly Laurie having at least one more season. And during the series, I got the impression that Laurie was kind of... And maybe if he'd won the series, as we thought he was going to, especially after game one, he might have sort of gone out on a high and stepped away from the role. But... yeah, like, he's a competitive guy, Laurie, and obviously, you know, he probably feels every year he's getting closer to victory, which he obviously was, and that Queensland side is, you know, they're going to lose some more members next year. So, yeah, I was surprised as well at the announcement yesterday, but I do understand New South Wales' perspective. Whether they got it wrong in the way that they announced it or not, that's another thing, and only probably Laurie will understand that. But
are we honestly thinking sack Laurie Daly because of the coaching staff bar bill? Like,
I think that was one of the reasons, Fletch. I think there's probably a few other reasons.
I mean, obviously we didn't win a series, but to come out and publicly say that it was due to... I mean, if you're a coach, and it's been going on since inception of State of Origin, that's what you do. It's your rite of passage. You do all your training and stuff, and then you have a few beers at night.
But is that something that's changed over the years, or is that something that needs to change?
Look, it wasn't the players, unless you're Fergo and Dugs, unfortunately. But no, I mean, please, that's a cop-out.
But is it...
That's
it,
a cop-out, saying that, that...
Does that not make it sort of more acceptable for the players? I mean, if they're seeing that every afternoon, the boys sort of down there having a beer after...
They're separate. They're away. They're not anywhere near them. They've done their training and they're just relaxing with dinner. I just think to come out and say that it was due to...
Well, hang on. You're going to see the bar bill. Maybe it wasn't just relaxing with dinner.
We are apparently chasing...
We do have the bar bill.
We do have it? Okay. Well, I'll reserve my judgment until I see it. But, I just think it's a cop-out.
All right, we will reveal some details of the bar bill very shortly. Saturday Triple M NRL is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers Protecting Your Future. Ryan?
I do think it was interesting to see, you know, what Gus said about the role. And obviously he thought that, you know, Laurie potentially didn't have the right people around him, boys. But
who's he talking about? Is he talking about Matt Parrish?
Well, there's Matt Parrish and there was John Cartwright. Yeah. So that they were the assistants. But, I mean, if everyone's talking about Freddie now... one of Gus's points was the fact that he, you know, if you're not a regular first grade coach, you're going to need the right people around you. So if Freddie's also not a first grade coach, even though he's had some success at City Country level, who needs to go in with Freddie to take some of that burden? Is it Gus himself? Would Gus and Freddie be a good combination?
I don't think Gus would do it. I mean, Craig Fitzgibbon's been at the Roosters.
Yep.
He's been the defensive coach for 4 or 5 years now. Jeff Toovey is around. Dean Pay is down there in Canberra. I agree with Joey. I think Freddie's ready. One thing about Freddie is his preparation. He'll have the players very well prepared if he gets the job.
And relaxed, you know, because even when you won the first one, you know, I think it's part of the media, part of the hype of it. Everyone's talking about Dynasty and stuff, and Freddie's real relaxed. If you win one, Freddie's not going to get carried away. I'm not saying that Laurie did with the boys get carried away, but some of the players can get carried away. Some of those players, you know, Fifita came out and said, I want to get better. You never hear Cameron Smith or those guys go, okay, I didn't play that well, but you know what? I'll come out and I'll get better, or we'll get better. See, Cameron Smith turned it around in the third one on himself and said, oh, I haven't done my best. This is what I've done. I think with a guy like Fifita, if he just didn't say too much and then backed it up, as soon as he said something, the Queensland players all sort of went, okay, Fifita, and then for the rest of the series, he was kept quiet.
But I mean, how can Laurie, how can a coach... Yeah. You know, put those sort of restrictions on players in the media.
Sure,
it's impossible.
Yeah, because I know, because we want those sort of, you know, but I'm just saying Freddie in general, you know, he's been there, he's been around, he's a big personality himself.
Okay, fellas, let me just ask.
Well, the Queenslanders are going to need a new coach as well, because Kevy's going to take the time.
Kevy won't take the job. Surely he won't take the job. We'll talk about that later.
Let me ask you, you've got the final vote. Ryan, who coaches New South Wales next year?
Well,
give me a name.
I'd like Freddie to. I think Freddie do a great job, and I'd like Gus to be his advisor. I'd like him in there as well.
Fletch?
Yeah, I'm going to go Freddie and Craig Fitzgibbon.
Wendell?
I think Freddie and Joey.
Now, I'm going to throw a name at you. Everybody's going to think I'm a fair dinkum half-wit or something that ends in wit. But I'm going to throw a name at you.
Yeah.
Okay? A coach came on the market this week who has been part of that success of that Queensland origin culture.
Neil Henry.
Neil Henry has been an assistant coach in Queensland. He is a experienced first grade coach, so we're not taking a punt on a... You know, this guy has coached first grade rugby league up until last week. He has been part of that Queensland system. He's born in Hobart. I mean, why is that so crazy?
Does that mean Jared Hayne will never play origin again?
I think so, yeah. I do think so, yeah.
I don't think Neil would do the job, nor do I think New South Wales will go down that road. No.
Okay. Yeah. Fletch?
Look, I don't... Do you have to play for New South Wales to be a coach?
No, you don't.
I'm just saying. It's a question to you, Gerds, because I know you said...
No, I don't think you do.
I mean, Jeff Toovey's out there.
Yep.
Jeff Toovey is available. He's coached at that level. So...
Or do we go back to a coach who is currently coaching an NRL club? And I think we all know who I'm... Sort of
Craig Bellamy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd do it again. I don't know if he'd do it well. He's still got those guys, you know, the Cameron Smiths and Slaters. When they're finished, he might be a chance. By then, he might just have had enough.
Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, and Fletch, 133.53, Saturday NRL. Let's go to the phones at 133.53. Talking about the sacking of Laurie Daly. Jade, it's all yours. What did you want to say?
Look, I think it's pretty, like, I'm a Queensland supporter, so, but I kind of feel sorry for some of the scapegoats in this whole situation from New South Wales. Like, I think the thing that needs to be considered is it's probably one of the best teams that New South Wales have formed in the last 12 years. So the fact that they're going after the coach and saying that their preparation wasn't good, I mean, in game two, they were literally a couple of minutes away from winning. And so, I mean, I don't know how they can make a decision in terms of preparation and culture when they literally lost, well, 3 minutes ago in game two, and then they obviously got beaten quite comprehensively in game three against one of the greatest teams in history. So, I mean, I just think it's excuses. I think they're looking for scapegoats. And I think what can't be taken away is how good Queensland actually is. And personally, you know, I think that whole Ferguson and Dugan situation. Look, I'm not a massive fan of both of them, but I think if they've gone and had a couple of drinks, they weren't rowdy, they weren't doing anything wrong. To go and suggest that their preparation was then off because they went and had a couple of drinks, and then that's what cost New South Wales the game. It's a bit insulting to Queensland, and it's kind of a bit. I think it's a bit of a joke, to be honest with you,
I think they're looking for answers. Mate, you know, I mean, it gets to the certain point where, you know, with 12 series now and, you know, only having the 1-1, you need to start looking for solutions. And so if you've got a couple of guys that go out, if you get yourself in a position to play in a decider at Fletch and you haven't won, I mean, we were pretty fortunate when we played. We sort of, you'd win a series, you'd lose a series. But
don't tell me, Gerge, you're going to bring up the Fergo and Dugan to you.
Well, I'm just going to say that does that... If you've got a couple of guys, you know, a week before the game or 5 or 6 days before the game going out and doing that, and then you've got the coaching staff that are then obviously, you know, having a beer most days and that after training, I mean...
That's separate, Gerds.
Does it make it harder for Laurie to then come down on the group if they're not leading by example midweek?
Well, Laurie didn't know. They went off-site and did that. I mean, if you're going to come out and say the reason why Laurie Daly's coaching staff is because of why not come out and just say, well, unfortunately you've had five goes of it and you've only won one.
That would be better for me. Yeah.
Okay, fellas, let's take another one of these calls on 133 533 Saturday NRL on Triple M. Brad's in Sydney. Oh, no, I beg your pardon. It's Adrian, I think. Adrian, what did you want to say, mate?
Hey, guys. Look, I mean, they've got to complete clean out. Peter Sterling's got to go as well. They should have made changes after they won game one. Tom Trbojevic and Mansell, who was back and was firing straight after about 3 weeks of football, should have come in for both wingers. And Pete is a good defender, but Apisai Corrie
season around, and he offers so much more in attack than what Nathan Peach does.
Gee, Adrian, it's hard to change a winning side, though.
Yeah.
You go to Queensland, you win comfortably.
Yeah, 28
to 4. Hard to... Yeah. How do you, you know, penalise players that have gone up there and won in enemy territory?
No, but doesn't matter if you can improve your team. Tarovic and Mansell are superior wingers to Brett Morris and Ferguson. It's as simple as that. Yeah. And Coriasau has having a much better season than what Nathan Peach does. And Coriasau's attack has been unbelievable. I mean, his try assist and everything. So you improve your team, Ryan.
Yeah, fair call, mate. No, but
I don't agree with him.
Well, that's an opinion. I mean, I think it's hard to drop players that have just done the job for you, especially at that level.
I'm with you guys.
All right, guys. Before we go, have we got one more there on 133 533? This one is Brad in Sydney. Brad, what do you got some suggestions about who should be?
It's not Freddie, is it?
No, I agree with Fletch. I reckon that Jeff Toovey's on the money. I don't know what his situation is at the moment. I think he went over to Bradford Bulls at the start of the year, whether he's tied up there. But I was having a chat with a mate at the pub last night, and we thought Jeff Toovey would be the go. He's certainly got the credentials.
All right, mate. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Final one. We've got a call coming in from Queensland on 133 533. Bill, weigh in on this as a Queenslander, mate.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are?
Good, mate. Bill. How are you, bud?
Mate, just a quick question. I want to take your opinion on that. We've got, you know, New South Wales have got one of the best coaches. We're talking from Phil Gild and you know, the list goes down. But do you reckon the reason why they're not taking on the big job is they think New South Wales are unwinnable so long that the Queensland spine is there, and once they retire, that's when they're happy to take the job, or not so much?
No, I don't think so. I think because they've been there, their opinion, they're throwing their opinion out there. They know this Queensland side's pretty good, and I've got to say, even as a Queenslander, mate, we nearly lost in a game too. We were going. If Thurston doesn't stay on, and Jared Hayne doesn't do a couple of things that it was all about him, mate, we're going on that series.
I think now's the perfect time to come in as a coach.
Yeah.
You know, with what we saw last year, and you know, there's some Queenslanders moving on next year, and there's some good New South Welshmen coming through. You know, you're going to have the likes of Cleary in the next few years, the Trbojevic's, and yeah, I think New South Wales are shaping up to put themselves in a good position, but we just need the right person to lead them.
And even New South Wales Rugby League, you know, they're trying to get into like the coaching staff and that. Mate, don't put players at the star. I know they're a sponsor. They're for 3 or 4 days. I mean, that's not going to be good for you, good for the, you know, for the boys coaching in that wise. I mean, I know they all behaved themselves quite well there. Mm. If they were going to stuff up, that was the place.
It's funny though, fellas, let me just wrap it up on this, get you a quick opinion on this. So, Triple M audience through Triple M Brisbane and up north into the Witch Sundays or Gold FM on the Gold Coast. All the Queensland people listening, hearing that New South Wales have now sacked a coach because of the bar bill, on the back of everything else that goes wrong, they must think, is this a carry-on movie? They must think we are the biggest bunch of buffoons.
Well, I'm
going to
ask Wendell, what would the Queensland coaching staff bar bill be?
I mean, they're usually on the English breakfast tea and that, Kevy, and that. No.
Alf's there.
Oh, no, yeah.
They'd give it a nudge?
I reckon they'd have a few. They're very social, yeah. They're very social.
What about next year we get rid of Origin and we just have a coaching staff? Be coaching staff bar bill.
Hey,
one up at Melbourne's. We'll start the first ones at Melbourne's.
You know what? That's all driven, though, by senior. I mean, no matter what the coaching staff do, Fletcher, you're absolutely right. Yeah. That is driven by the senior playing group.
Yeah, cool.
You know, how you prepare for the game. And unfortunately, Queensland have just got that senior playing group that, you know, have been so successful for such a long period.
It's like anything. Once you, if you win, no one wants to know about that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? So, but once you lose, all that stuff gets brought up. And
all right, Saturday Triple M NRL, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Got some big guests coming up on the show today. Of course, it's Dell, it's Fletch, it's Gerds and Maroon. The coach at the moment, we can get his view on this, among other things. Brad Arthur from the Parramatta Eels joins us very shortly.
Oh, they're on fire, the Eels.
Saturday NRL.
1, 2, 3, 4. Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
And our number is 133353. We do it thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Already some games have been played across the weekend. Raiders 46, Knights 28, Cowboys 22, Tigers 14, Parramatta 52, Broncos 34. And those scores are all thanks to Tyre Power. Parramatta now 15 wins and sitting very comfortably there on 34 points. That's that second sort of rung behind Melbourne, who are way up there on 40. So let's get the man of the moment, a coach that's only feeling the love at the moment. Nice bloke he is too, from the Parramatta Eels, Brad Arthur. Welcome to Saturday NRL.
Afternoon, boys.
Mate, before we get to the Parramatta thing, where do you weigh in on this? You must have some opinion on this New South Wales coaching debate / debacle. What would you say about it?
Oh, I haven't really given it much thought, to tell you the truth. I'm sure they'll come up with the right person for the job.
Do you think that... What are your thoughts, Brad, on a current NRL coach taking the reins as an Origin coach?
To me, you know, and it's only my opinion, just get the best coach. Whether they're going to be a full-time NRL coach, you know, one of the 16 clubs, or someone from outside that area.
Okay.
Hey, Brad, it's Wendell Saylor, mate. We're up there doing the game, and I couldn't believe what I've seen over there. Not many times the Broncos get smashed like that, but, you know, everyone's talking about what Sammy did and that, but I've got to say, for your team, the way they play together, Nathan Brown, he's just an unsung hero of that team this year. He's just really improved in his fitness and his work rate.
Yeah, Brownie's going well. You know, we set out at the start of the year, one of his goals was he wants to be, you know, make the starting team, and then the second part of that, he wanted to be an 80-minute player, and he's worked really hard. And still some areas of his game that we'd like to see and get better at, but he's an inspiration to the rest of the playing group, and you know, everything he does is about the team first mentality, and he's a big part of the reason why we're in contentions for a finals position.
Hey, Brad, it's Fletch here, mate. Moving Michael Jennings over to the opposite side, was that something? How did he take that? Because he's always been obviously a left centre.
Yeah, Jenko was fine. We sort of talked to him a bit about it last year at stages, and you know, and he's the ultimate professional. It was more so that Tackers wanted to, you know, prefer to play down that right side of the field. But once, you know, we told the boys the reasoning behind the move, Jenko was all for it, and, you know, he's quite comfortable playing on that right side. And defensively, you know, I don't know if there's many better defending centres in the game. And it was an area that we needed to tidy up. Most of our points were getting leaked down that right edge, and since then, you know, he's put a bit of a stop to that.
What have you made of Will Smith? Obviously, you know, had a hole to fill. You've had some fullbacks go down for you this year, but his form over the last couple of weeks going into the finals, mate, they must make you happy.
Yeah, Will's been good, and he's a player that we can throw anywhere and he'll get the job done. Now, he's still, at times, probably not turning up in a few areas that he should, but, you know, that's just going to come with a bit of time with the rest of the team and training in that position. You know, he hasn't done a lot of training there with us this year because he's been playing a bit in the halves, a bit of dummy half. So he's picked up the spot really comfortably. He's just a natural footballer, Will. And, the boys like having him there.
Hey, B.A., I know we interviewed a couple of the boys after the game, and there was a vision when I think the Broncos scored the last try there, and you whacked about three bottles away. You weren't real happy about it, and that sets a standard, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, and it's only the standards and expectations that we've set amongst ourselves, and while we're really happy with our attack, the majority of the game I thought our defence was very aggressive and positive, and we forced a lot of errors, but then there was two soft tries at the end of the game, and there was a period of 10 minutes in the second half where we invited them into the contest. And, you know, you can't afford to do that against a good team. So, you know, we got lucky putting 50 points on. You're not going to get, you know, score 50 points in semi-finals. And, you know, if you're leaking 34, you're certainly not going to be, you know, coming off the field winning the game.
What about Sammy, mate? Is there, are you trying to convince him to hang around for a couple more years?
Yeah, look, yeah, Buller, we know he's going. For 12 months, and you know, there's every chance and that he might come back in June, but there's every chance that he might not either. You know, he loves the club, he loves NRL, and he wants to go and play, you know, do this part of what he wants to get out of his career, and he's told us, you know, just to make sure that we do have a bit of room for him in the cap in case he wants to come back. So he's the sort of player that we'll leave a bit of space for.
But yeah, I don't see any weaknesses with Sammy. Like, when you're doing contact and all that, like, all his tries showed so much of everything, all the skills, you know. David Mead had no chance there when he went up for the kick. He just got up there and took it. And then when he made that break, he was like a racehorse going down the straight at Melvin Cup or something. You're not going to stop him. He just looked so good. He was just cruising, mate. It must be good to see as a coach when you got a player like that. He's just blue chip.
So I was very comfortable knowing that when he gets into space, very, very, very rarely does he not come up with the right play or get the result for you. Then, you know, the part to Semi's game is just still a couple of times that lacks a little bit of concentration with some defensive. Yes. He's got a lot better in that area, but, you know, like the try at the end, and there's a try off the scrum where you're just not good enough at the level, you know, at NRL standard.
Yeah.
You must be enjoying the hype out west at the moment, mate. Obviously, it's been a tough couple of years for the Eels, and it's been a while since they went into a finals campaign with the ability to really put themselves in contention to win the title. What's it feel like out there at the moment?
Yeah, I suppose it feels normal for us. You know, we're down at training, but the support from our fans has been great regardless of where we've been sitting or, you know, for the last couple of years, and it's probably more of a reward for our strong supporter base that we actually get the opportunity to play finals. But now for us as a playing group, you know, you don't get put in those positions very often. It's a lot of hard work to get there, and we're going to make the most of it. You know, we certainly don't want to go into pre-season of next year having any regrets. We want to do the best we can. If that's good enough, great, and if it's not, we'll, you know, aim up and go again next year.
All right, B.A., good to talk to you, mate. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and congratulations on the win.
All right, thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Here he is, Parramatta coach Brad Arthur joining us on Saturday, Triple M NRL. Their win was 52-34 over the Broncos. Massive scoreline. Sorry,
yeah. Bill? No. I just said it was. I said, but like, you know, even Broncos, usually if they get scored on early, they usually find their way back into the game, but they were just ruthless, Parramatta, there earlier.
The interesting thing about the finish next week is obviously now the Broncos obviously got beaten by Parramatta, which then gives Parramatta an opportunity to not finish fourth, which is essentially what they would like not to do, because you don't want to be meeting Melbourne down there in the first round of the finals. So the fact that they beat Brisbane, and Brisbane next week play the Cowboys, who played really well last night and will be playing for obviously another spot in the top eight next week up at 1-800 Smile Stadium, it puts Parramatta in a pretty Is it 1300 or 1800?
No, that's,
no, that's your number.
That's another number,
1800. Anyway, that's a different 1-800? Sort of smile. But yeah, look, I mean, they've put themselves in a really positive position after that win now, and potentially finishing third or even second if things go their way. So what a season it is for the Eels.
Yep, Saturday NRL. We're going to take a song, come back and just lighten things up a little bit and talk more about this New South Wales Blues bar tab on the way. Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday NRL, thanks to Brydens, Wendell Saylor, Fletch, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. 133353 is our number, and it's time for this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yes, indeed. The best of the best. So on the back of the New South Wales Origin bar tab, which apparently has cost Laurie Daly his job, Fletch and I thought, what about this one? The best of the best coaches to run up the most expensive bar tab. Like, who were the absolute legends to run up a bar tab that you blokes worked with over your careers? And I'll start with you, Fletch.
Okay, well, I've actually didn't work with this gentleman because I didn't know that was the rules. But the head coach is going to be Johnny Raper.
Oh, yeah.
For me, yeah. Blocker is the assistant coach. And tactically, who's doing all the off-field organising, Brett Finch.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's my coaching staff to give it a nudge.
They're your best three?
Yeah. So best of the best. Now, so just let me introduce that again. So it's the best of the best to run up the most expensive bar tab on the back of what's happened to Laurie Daly. Yeah. Let's go to you now, Wendell.
Okay. Let's save me. I've got something special. You go to Gerds.
Okay.
Okay, Ryan.
All right. Well, I think Tommy needs to be there somewhere. Tommy Radonikis would be brought in. He would be obviously the head coach. Forwards coach would be Royce Simmons. Yeah. My backs coach would be none other than Brett Mullins.
Mullins.
Fill a hole there.
Coke.
And I think my media manager would be Brian Fletcher. That'd be a fun group to hang around for a week.
Wendell, the best of the best.
Yeah, look, I think for me, I think Kevvy Walters, because in the day, I think people realise this, Kevvy Walters, everyone blames Elf, but Kevvy Walters was pretty good on and off the field. So Kevvy would be my head coach. Obviously, he's changed now since he's been with Queensland. That's not a big part of it. My assistant would be, and he's a great assistant, he'd never be take a head role, is Alan Langer. And then I have to have Gordon Tallis. Gordon Tallis would be there from the start to the finish.
Put everyone to sleep.
But they're my three. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that basically is the Queensland.
No, it's current. Not. Gordon's not involved, but I know Alf and Kevvy are. But that's for me. They're guys who I've enjoyed, and Kevvy's quite good now. Kevvy's could pull back a bit. Alf takes control. I think Alf sort of organises that little sort of drink with the staff.
I reckon Jason Hetherington. We'd go right up there too. He'd be good in camp. He's in camp with him. And Steve Walters, I reckon their tab would be, quite considerable as well, Brian.
Yeah, but I think the blokes have got the balance right. You know, it's not every night.
All right, well, we'll leave that there.
What about you, Maroon?
Well, I only played for the Waterloo Waratahs under Coach Ronnie McGuinness. He didn't mind a couple of KBs after the game. Yeah. But that's back in the 70s. So I think that was kind of okay back in the 70s. If you weren't having a couple of cans, I mean, you know what they used to say back then.
Yeah.
So,
well, I remember when I came to the Broncos in 93 when Wayne didn't want to sign me. He reckons I was a bit too on myself and that, and I wouldn't make it. He got that right. But anyway, they used to do the 400s and 200s at Kelvin Grove there, pre-season, so 93 pre-season. And then after it, the boys would go across to the pub there, at Kelvin Grove, like the pub there, and just have a few beers and that after a game, not too many, and then drive home. I'm thinking, geez, you know, I've come from the country, and that's how rugby league was back in the early 90s, I suppose.
Pub golf? You ever play pub golf?
Yeah.
Great Craig Salvatore.
You'd be good at that.
What's that?
Pub golf.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
What are the basic rules for it?
It's a pub crawl.
Yep.
So if you had three schooners, you're on par. If you have four, birdie, and so on. So they reckon Craig Salvatore, after three pubs, was 17 under.
Whoa. All right, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to leave this. We don't condone drinking. We don't condone binge drinking. We don't drink responsibly.
Yeah.
100%. So that's what the boys think. Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Fletch and Maroon. Our number is 133353. We'll get back to talking some rugby league shortly and have a little bit of a talk about the Raiders Knights game and where does it leave the Raiders. We'll talk more about that. And we'll talk about the fight too, McGregor and Mayweather, all that and more coming up on Saturday NRL.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
The time to rewrite history is now.
With Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper. Triple M rocks the footy.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome back to it. Our number is 133353 as we rock the footy right across the Triple M network. And of course, the final series, the grand final. Make sure you download the app at triplem.com.au. Now, of course, we are just about at the end of another season. I'm going to quickly go through the eight and those just outside the eight. Melbourne, 40 points. What an effort. Four losses for the entire year. Brisbane on 34 with the Roosters on 34 and Parra on 34. Then we've got Cronulla on 32, Penrith on 30, North Queensland on 30 and Manly on 28. Haven't they fallen away, Manly? Now, just outside the eight, St George Illawarra on 26 and Canberra on 26. So I just said to the boys off air, Canberra can't make it, and they said technically they could. Can, yeah. Well, let me tell you, if they do, I'll go in for a full sex change.
Oh, yeah, that,
make the eight.
That would be great.
You're going to go. You're going to come back to being a man. Hey, look, they made it a lot harder last night, didn't they? The Cowboys with that win, and obviously now it's going to depend on Manly. I mean, you wouldn't like to have your season relying on the Warriors to beat anyone. And that's the situation the Raiders find themselves. The Dragons, well, they've got to beat Penrith tomorrow. That's going to be a big ask. But even so, Manly now really hold the key to the eight in their own hands with a good win over the Warriors tomorrow, which you would think would happen. I mean, they haven't been in great form, Manly, but
Sean Johnson's back.
Is he
back? Is he tomorrow?
Back, so, well, there we go.
You know, they do play better when he's there.
Of course. They depend on him too much. That's the problem. Yeah.
But what about the Raiders this year? I mean, the Dragons' fall from grace was amazing. But I'll come back to that.
Yeah.
The Raiders, like, where did they go wrong this year? Because they along with Penrith, a lot of people had them for the premiership.
Yeah, I had Panthers and Raiders in my premiership. They were my final two after what they did last year. But I reckon sometimes you sort of read, you go into a preseason and think, okay, we're going to get better next year. And sometimes players, not saying they don't work hard enough, but it just doesn't gel like that. You've got to work in, you've got to start again. You can't just pick up from where it left off. Their halves haven't been on the same page this year. Obviously, there's been a problem, I think, with Caesar. I think Joey Leilua, I think James Hooper said in the show, Joey Leilua and Caesar had a bit of a, or was it Blake Austin? Blake One Austin of them had a bit of a blue. And then their forwards haven't been so dominant through the middle. Hodgson hasn't played at that same level that he was last year. And then their backs haven't been as dynamic, I mean, and destructive. I know that Leilua plays well in patches. Rapana's been great, but they just haven't been the same this year.
Earlier on, Ricky Stewart came out and was talking about the markers sort of going in and jamming into Hodgson. And I suppose they didn't adjust to that because their defence is pretty much identical to where they were this time last year. But their attack, they're 200 points lighter. And that, obviously, as you said, Wendell, it's from Hodgson, and he has been nullified. So they sort of didn't adjust to that and try and come up with it. They relied too heavily on him, trying to get early ball out to that right-hand side with Rapana and Leilua didn't
And
work.
It's like that at season's grace last year. Like, they came up with this, you know, inventive way to play the game, which was on the back of momentum with Hodgson, you know, getting out from dummy half. But what the other sides do, they go away in the off-season, they think of all the coaches, and they think about who the big threats are going to be next year. And obviously Penrith and Canberra were two of the big threats coming into this year, and then they obviously start breaking down how to beat them sides, and whether it's, you know, compressing up in the middle, not letting them get momentum. And I think When the other sides have adjusted to the way the Raiders played, the Raiders didn't seem to have a backup plan where they, you know, their set pieces haven't been really good all year, so they rely on that momentum. When that's taken away from them, they've struggled at times, and they did it again last night. As soon as they meet a little bit of resistance, they try to go side to side, or they start to push passes, and then they get desperate. They go off the boil. They got out to like a 14-0. Early in that game against Newcastle. Then Newcastle sort of lifted the intensity and surged a little bit there and started compressing up and defending a little bit better, and then the Raiders lost their way, and it wasn't until Newcastle made some more errors that the Raiders sort of found their way again. So they just haven't been able to respond in those sort of pressure moments this season. And we spoke to Jordan Rapana last night and we asked him a few of those questions.
Yeah, Jordan, congratulations. A fourth hat-trick of your career, back-to-back seasons of 20 tries. You must be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a bonus to even get a try. So, look, you know, to be honest, I think all three of them, I just caught them down. So, you know, I've got to give credit to our halves and our fullback and, you know, running well-structured plays there.
And last week, Penrith broke your heart down here, but no doubt on Sunday you'll be barracking them all the way against the Dragons.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a tough one. You don't want to bag the teams, but, you know, at the end of the day, we do need them to lose. So, yeah, look, we'll be cheering on Penrith and whoever's playing the Cowboys and Manly.
Up to you guys.
Yeah, Jordan, Ryan Girdlemay, congratulations. Another terrific performance by yourself. I was just saying to Dan here, I mean, you know, it will be hard come September if things don't fall your way in the next couple of weeks with the talent that you guys have to sit back and watch that final series.
Yeah, absolutely good. You know, yeah, look, we know within ourselves how dangerous we are and you know, how much of a threat we are to this competition. But, you know, in saying that as well, you're going to put yourself in that position too. So, look, it will be frustrating, but we have both fingers crossed and hopefully that we can get into that top eight, because I do really believe we'll be a definite threat if we can get there.
Is there one result? There's a whole heap where you were so close. Is there one result where you think, gee, that's the one we really should have won?
Yeah, look, the one for me probably is, I guess it's more of the one that just hurts the most, is probably that Penrith game in Bathurst. You know, yeah, we were up by 10 points, I think it was, and I don't know. It was just, couldn't even have any words after the game. I was just in shock. I was just like, how did that happen? So yeah, if there was a game, it was probably that one.
Did you feel like a couple of weeks ago, you know, when you guys clicked against the Sharks, there was just something coming? And mate, you had opportunities last week against the Panthers, but you sort of slipped back into your old habits.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's where it's hurt us. And I guess the positive side of that, you know, as much as we've lost a lot of close games this year, you know, with the way our completion is and our end of sets, you know, we should have been getting flogged by bloody 20-30. And
yeah,
we've definitely got heart, and we've always been in the fight, you know, with all the close games that we had. So it's definitely frustrating, but there's a lot of talent here and a lot of heart, I definitely believe.
Anyway, the positive tonight, a nice win and three tries to you. Well done.
Well done, Jordan.
Thank you very much, guys. There have a good one.
Jordan Rapana joining us last night during the call where the Raiders put the Knights to bed. Well, they won three in a row, then they've lost a couple. But just on the Knights quickly, big things for the Knights when you look at some of the signings they've made. I think Aiden Guerra is going to be great for them. Obviously, young Connor is going to be fantastic for them as well.
Herman Essay, look, I mean, I don't think the Broncos wanted to lose that young forward. You know, he was really good the other night too, and he's, you know, they got Tevita Pangai Jr. at the Broncos, but Herman Essay is a guy they would have loved to keep. Brandy's doing a really good job there. You know, the Safidi brothers, even when those players get injured, they're coming back on. Look, I don't care what people think, but like a guy like Nathan Ross, he mightn't be the biggest name in the game, but I just love the energy that he brings to the NRL. And that's why he's one of my favourites to watch.
I like
to
see him in the centres. Yeah. I know he's playing fullback. I suppose Connor Watson next year will play fullback, considering the way he's played for the Chooks. But Nathan Ross, I think he's a left centre.
The more he gets involved, I think the better it is, because he brings so much positive energy, you know.
I really like the Raiders can really bully you down there, and they came out and started the game really well. But I like the grit of this Newcastle Knights, especially their forward, their back rowers, Lachlan Fitzgibbon and Mitch Barnett. They're big, aggressive back rowers, and they're really super competitive, and they play every play. And look, that young Lachlan made a few errors last night, but I'll tell you what, he's a player of the future. And for 80 minutes last night, they might have been outclassed in parts, but they certainly weren't out enthused. And they played to the death, and they actually got themselves right back into the game after a poor start. And look, some simple errors cost them in the end, but those guys had a dig right till the end, and I think Nathan Brown will be really happy with that.
Yeah, we talk about, like, you know, guys like Sammy and that, and Jordan Rapana. Mate, we've been calling Rapana by that name. I saw it. Was it on the professor? It's Rapana. I just
like Takarangi.
Yeah, but I can't. Will you able to change that, or will you keep calling him Rapana? I think his mum blows up when call him Rapana. Well, it's Rapana.
Well, if his name's Rapana, let's go with Rapana, Maroon. Yeah.
I can only give you the advice that Rabs gave me about 10 years ago, and the advice is, look, whatever you're calling the man, just make sure your co-commentators are calling him the same thing. If you're going to go ahead and call him Rapana, just make sure those around you call him Rapana as well.
Well, what if Mrs. Rapana comes into the box and says, I want you to start calling my son Jordan Rapana, not
Well,
Rapana.
The first thing I'll be saying is, who is running the bloody security around here?
That was a great Alan Jones impersonation too. That was brilliant.
Saturday NRL is thanks to Brighton's lawyers, Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Brian Fletcher and Maroon. We're going to talk about a little bit of boxing shortly, because McGregor and Mayweather, they're calling it the biggest sporting event in history, and we'll talk about it shortly on Saturday NRL.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy. for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future.